Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Bengals coming up this weekend at Nissan Stadium. Taking your thoughts on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. By the way, I've just had a tweet that got retweeted into my timeline from Todd Furman, who works out in Vegas, is the co-founder of the Bet the Board pod, does a lot of odds maker work out there in Vegas. This tweet is from January 11th of 2016, says, Wayne Gallman greater than Derrick Henry when it comes to their careers at the next level. That's a doozy. That is a doozy.
Wait, he predicted?
He predicted that
Wayne Gallman would be?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay.
You can file that one in the category of misfire, my friend.
Bigger Titans legend, Derrick Henry or Bishop Sankey?
Good question. So Julio Jones, we spent a lot of time obviously talking about him this season, the hamstring injuries, everything that's happened. Julio finishes the season 31 catches, 434 yards, and a touchdown. By the way, the touchdown came in the last game, and 128 of those yards came in one game against Seattle. So not much from Julio Jones for the most part this season. He did finish with 5 catches, 58 yards, and a touchdown against Houston on 9 targets. Led all Titans in targets in that game. So the last time we saw Julio Jones was probably the second most productive game he's had in his Titans career outside of the Seattle game where he went for 6 for $128. So with that in mind, Joe Rexroad, I think it's somewhat of a mystery what kind of a factor he's going to be heading into the playoffs, heading into this matchup against Cincinnati. What do you think of Julio Jones heading into the postseason, and where's your confidence level that he can be a significant difference maker for this team heading into the postseason?
Well, I guess I would need the definition of significant difference maker, you know?
Let's say this. Would you take from Julio Jones throughout the rest of these playoffs what we just saw from him down in Houston? Not even necessarily the touchdown, but 5 catches, 58 yards. You taking that?
Absolutely, because not only did he have the 5 catches for 58 yards, he was open a couple other times, actually downfield. Tannehill missed him. So that was a Julio Jones who I think was running better than he has in a lot of weeks that he's been active. And, of course, there's been plenty of weeks when he hasn't been active too. So that Julio Jones helps the Titans. You know, the thing is, too, I think with Julio Jones, obviously this is going to be so much about Derrick Henry on Saturday. You know, the introduction, just seeing him on the field, the emotional lift for the team and the fans. But I still think Julio Jones is a guy who this fan base has been so desperate to cheer, you know, to celebrate that, you know, I just feel like those few times he has made key plays in that stadium, you know, there's a different feeling about that too. So I feel like he can also bring a lift to the whole thing if he can just make a few plays Saturday. That version of Julio Jones, I don't know how you can really expect more. We haven't seen nearly enough from him this year to think that all of a sudden he's going to have one of those vintage Atlanta Falcons performances at any point, maybe ever again.
Yeah, like, you know, I think the Atlanta Julio conversation to me is, I mean, it's just not really realistic based on what we've seen this year. Now, I still think, you know, could he dig deep and give you a 6-catch, 128-yard performance again? I have my doubts about that, but I agree. Like, I would take the version of Julio Jones we just saw in Houston, I'll take that if you're the Titans heading into the playoffs. I just feel like the majority of Titans fans are, if they're not out on the guy, they're just so down on the guy that there's really not heavy expectations heading into the playoffs. We may have my favorite text message ever on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul texting in says, I have the same level of confidence in Julio having a big game as I have in Chase McKay beating Willie Donick in a 3-point shootout. Same level of confidence.
But what about Joe in a shootout? Joe or Willie in a 3-point shooting contest. I mean,
Willie did play college basketball.
He did. But I've tried to get, you know, like Willie doesn't ever want to play. Maybe, man, maybe that shot's a little clanky now, you know?
Maybe so.
I'd still take Willie. I'd have a better shot than Chase. That's pretty good. Paul, what I'd like to know on that sentiment from Paul, do you think that's the majority of the fan base?
I do. I think the majority of the Titans fan base is just like, yeah, Julio Jones, it's just not it. It's not going to work.
Boy, a lot of people sure got angry a couple weeks ago when, angry in particular at Kaharski and me, for stuff we said when he said, like, his assessment of the season was completely, like, fantasy. But it's like that's one of those situations where, okay, so there's, like, 8 angry people on Twitter. What do they actually represent?
Right. You know?
Well, I still think there's a fair amount of hope. That's just like, I'm sure just like with Tannehill, there's an entire scale of, I totally believe in him all the way down to please put in Logan Woodside. You know, I still think that people really want to believe that Julio is going to be a difference maker here.
Well, I think they want to believe it too, but like at some point you watch what's been on the field and what has not happened to this point. And you know, at what point is that going to happen now? I think a lot of people have a tough time separating what the Titans gave up to get him and the return on investment that they got from him. And look, I get it. It's been a heck of a way to lose a second-round pick for 31 catches for 434 yards and a touchdown. So I understand that. But we've said all year, like if Julio turns things around and becomes a difference maker in the playoffs, I think you even start to view that trade a little bit different. Like if Julio Jones makes this big catch to win you an AFC title game, probably looking at that trade a little bit differently than you are right now.
Okay, what was the last game? 5 for 58? Is that what it was?
Yep.
Okay. So let's say Julio Jones has 10 catches, 116 yards, 2 touchdowns in the next 2 weeks, and the Titans win 2 games. Was it worth the trade?
I'd have to see when those catches came. How big were those catches? I mean, touchdown's pretty big, so.
Touchdowns are probably pretty big.
So, I'd have to say, yeah. I mean, this is the time of year you got him for, right? Was to push you over the top in the playoffs.
I mean, that's not that, though, that performance would still probably make him third fiddle, right? Like A.J. Brown probably would do more. Derrick Henry would probably have a bigger role. And who knows? I mean, Chester Rogers could have a huge game. But, that's probably not the star performance. And you give up a second-round pick. But, I mean, to me, if you're making key plays and getting in the end zone at the most important time of the year, what's more important?
Paul texting back in says, yes, we all feel that way. I want Julio to contribute. I wanted Clowney to get sacks. And I want Tannehill to not throw any picks. But I also want to win the lottery as well. There you go, Paul.
Wow. Okay.
So Paul's totally out on Julio Jones.
Paul's totally out. By the way, speaking of confidence, I mean, I should mention this because Gover gave us a nice scale. So let me run through that real quick. Ryan Tannehill, this is Gover's confidence level in Tannehill, 7 of 10, Julio, 4 of 10, Derrick Henry, 6 of 10, Randy Bullock, 7 of 10, and Big Jeff, 10 of 10.
That's quite the assortment of players.
Interesting assortment. I got to know, like, what does that mean? Do you think Derrick Henry's fumbling? Like, okay, he's saying factor in game readiness. Is he 100% recovered? Yeah, then it'd be 10 of 10. Okay.
I just like
fair
that
enough.
He's – look.
Fair enough.
I think you might be a little bit low on the Randy Bullock part of this, 7 out of 10, taking on your former team. I'm about a 9 out of 10 with Randy. Randy's going to be ready to play this week. I have full confidence.
He had an ugly one in Houston.
I ain't worried about that. Got it out of the way. Former team coming up this week.
Okay. All right. I would be a little less on that. I mean, he's a guy who could be a big, big factor here.
Been doing crunches this
Saturday.
Week. Leg press.
Yeah, does that help you make kicks?
Get that range out there a little bit, man. And be limbered up, ready to go.
This could come down to Randy, so be ready.
It could. It very well could. Wouldn't that be the storyline? Randy Bullock takes down his former team in the playoffs.
Bengal killer Randy, or Bengal, whatever.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on Julio Jones and the Titans coming up next on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Football fans, it's playoff time in Nashville, and the best tailgating spot is the Hard Rock Cafe. Come join 1025 The Game for all the excitement on Broadway with Hard Rock's playoff tailgating party Saturday from noon to 3 p.m. The grills will be fired up. Full bar with drink specials, live entertainment from DJ Seago, games, giveaways, and so much more. If you don't have tickets, come to the game, stay inside, and cheer on the two-tone blue as well. So Hard Rock Cafe will feature the game on sound with over 30 TVs with mega sound as well. So come make some noise from Broadway at Hard Rock Cafe's playoff tailgate and viewing party this Saturday from noon to 3 p.m. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yeah, buddy. Little Mayor bringing us back in here today on the program. Hendersville High School legend. Little Mayor Shelley in there. Love it. What a song. Joe, did you listen to the whole thing? Joe's second mute of the day.
And I didn't say anything. I waited to hit the button. That does not count. I haven't because I was doing stuff in the breaks, but also Dennis said apparently he's got like a Walgreens reference. I mean, he's got like every possible storyline of the Titans.
Oh, the mayor's all over it.
Flexing like Big Jeff was in there.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible. I just listened to it all.
You go to Hendersville High School, you're in good shape. You do some good things. That's what we've learned.
I did not realize Henderson High School was such a producer of outstanding hip hop.
Hendersonville.
Listen, Robbie performed at the CMAs.
Yeah. We got all kinds of musical talent. Taylor Swift is like third or fourth on the list.
I want a Mayor Taylor Swift Super Bowl halftime performance.
We can make it work. I don't think there's any question about it. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got a texture that says, Randy looks like he has to put his Bud Light down to go out there and kick, and I love it. He's up there for favorite Titan status. I love it, too. Big fan of Randy Bullock here on the program.
Hey, man. John Kruk didn't need to, eat kale, okay?
No.
That guy could hit a baseball. Randy Bullock doesn't need, he doesn't need your ab crunches to hit some footballs.
Randy Bullock's not on TB12. He doesn't need to be. He's fine.
That's right.
He's doing just fine. Dylan texting in.
Probably handle his avocado tequila and be just fine.
I bet he could. Dylan texting in goes, do kickers really have that killer instinct to go after a team that cut them like other offensive or defensive players would? Kickers are head cases, and I worry the pressure may affect them in a bad way. This is coming from Dylan on the text line.
There's a lot to unpack there, Dylan. First of all, Robbie was joking because we keep joking. This goes back to Jared's like, Tannehill's going to throw a football through a wall because he was taking on the Dolphins.
I'm only halfway joking with Randy.
Okay, that's fine. But also, kickers are head cases. You're gonna paint with a broad brush there?
Yeah, come on.
Jeez.
And Justin Tucker seems pretty calm.
Yeah, I would argue that to be a kicker, you'd have to be, even to be like a kicker, not one of the best kickers in the NFL, to get to the NFL and be a kicker.
Yeah.
I'd say you'd have to be pretty darn sharp mentally with your mental focus to be able to be that consistent with something that's not easy to do.
Tyler from Berry Hill texting in says, Robbie, the Texans were also Randy's former team. It's all right. You're just saving it for the playoffs, man. When you go back and look at it, Randy Bullock's
actually got a good point, though.
You got a lot of former teams. Texans, yeah. Jets, Bengals, Giants, Steelers. You can keep going down the list.
How do you do against the Steelers? I don't remember. Did he have a field goal in that game?
I don't know.
Did he miss one?
I don't know. I have to go back and look.
Don't want to get too jacked up.
Oh, man. Hopefully it doesn't come down to a Randy Bullock field goal on Saturday. Hopefully the Titans are ahead a little bit more comfortably than that. But, hey, if it does, you know, we've seen Randy Bullock make some big kicks this year. We've seen him miss a couple as well.
Yeah, he's 26 for 31. I mean, the only high pressure, like, okay, this is it, kick that he missed. Well, he missed the one in New York. New Jersey.
Correct.
In overtime that would have tied it. But other than that, when he's had the big important kick, Seattle and a couple other games, he's made those. So I think the confidence level in him should be pretty high. Where'd Gober put it? Would he put it 7?
7.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's about right.
Brian in Portland texting in says, you got to remember when Ryan Succop kicked the game winner against his former Chiefs a few years back with us. That was a heck of a kick by Ryan Succop in those conditions.
That one actually, he must have like done some Rocky workouts that week, because I don't know how he got that football that far in that weather. So that was something to behold.
Matt texting in says, nobody knows what Henry will look like after three or four hits, or which Tannehill shows up, or which defense will be out there as well. So, Matt, lots of questions heading in this game, lots of uncertainty for the Titans. I feel like you know what defense is going to show up for the most part. Now, the question is it good enough to slow down Ja'Marr Chase in that passing attack? That's going to be the question. Can you get home often enough?
I just spilled coffee all over myself. I don't know the significance of that, but I just wanted to give you a status update. I think the defense, I think you're right. I mean, the pass rush, I guess you can't say it's been consistent. It's been mostly good. It's been good most weeks. Some weeks it's been better than good. It's been great. I mean, that's what it, to me, it's just, if you have that, then I like your chances a lot, because I think you're going to get enough stops mixed in. If your pass rush is really good and you don't give up the big play, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is going to have his catches and he's going to make plays. T. Higgins is going to make plays. You can't let someone leak out and give up the 75-yard touchdown, you know, because those are the ones that they count for more. They demoralize you. They lift the opponent, and you want the Bengals to have to be in that red zone situation where they haven't been very good. Now, they're going to move it between the 20s. But mix in some punts, because your pass rush got home or bothered Burrow and forced him to throw it away, and get those red zone stops.
Just let him get down to the goal line and let Zach Taylor start calling plays out of the shotgun for him. That worked out well last time we saw that.
Hey, it worked. They won.
Yes, they did.
He just needed a few chances to get that penalty
just
drawn.
Needed quite the series of events to take place for that in order to happen. Great stuff there. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sean Mack from Dixon texting in saying, like the caller this morning said, Tannehill is not a shootout quarterback because he doesn't have the weapons for that. Burrow does. Give up on Julio Jones. Move on. But Tannehill can beat the Bengals if the Titans' best player keeps Burrow off the field. Tannehill's best player this weekend is his defense. This is coming from Sean Mack from Dixon on the text line.
Well, I disagree on give up on Julio. He's your number two receiver. You know, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is going to play a lot too. And I would certainly agree, like, the Titans don't have the weapons the Bengals have. I don't know how many teams have all that skill like they have. I mean, I think top to bottom, it's right up near the top of the league. But I would argue that if the Titans had to get into a back and forth, like the defense is just, you know, it's not working and Burrow's going up and down the field scoring points. I mean, I don't think it's impossible for the Titans to hang in a game like that. They just have to, play offensively like we haven't seen a ton this year, but we have seen a lot of these same people get into games like that. Like you said earlier in the show, go back to last year. How many shootouts were they in? They had to be in shootouts all the time. And they won a lot of them. They went 11-5.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, we talked about it earlier this week. I think the most exciting part of this game heading into it, if you're a Titans fan, is Henry's back. Julio's in there. Your offensive line is healthy for the first time for an extended period of time all season long. Like, I think there's lots of reasons to believe that this offense could look pretty good on Saturday. Now, you know, have we seen that a ton this year? No, we've also not seen all the pieces out there a ton this year together. That, to me, is the most intriguing part of this game, is what does this offense look like, and does it come close to looking like what we thought it could be before the season even began? I mean, you brought it up. Whatever the number is, the amount of plays that Julio, AJ, and Derrick Henry have been on the field at the same time, somewhere in, you know, like 113 or whatever the plays are, been pretty darn good. I know it's a short sample size, but what are they, 7 yards per play? I think you'll take that.
7 yards per play, which would be a yard better than anybody did this year in the NFL, you know, overall. Again, small sample size. Basically same offensive line, same quarterback, same running back, same star receiver, a lot of the same tight ends. A year ago, they had to beat the Jags 33-30, the Vikings 31-30, the Texans 42-36, the Ravens 30-24. The Texans again, 41-38. I mean, they had to get into a bunch of games like that, and they lost some of them too. I mean, they were down huge to the Browns, ended up losing 41-35. So they're I mean, this exact same personnel is familiar with it. It's not how you want the game to go, but it's the NFL playoffs and things get wacky. I mean, we could also be talking Monday about like a 9-6 game, and yeah, you know, I mean, who knows? But I do think one of the strengths of the Titans and one of the reasons for optimism is that they actually are built to play in any kind of game and have a chance to prevail in that game.
Chris on the text line says, "Hey guys, love listening to you. Two questions. First, Robbie, how was closing on the house? And two, which conference do you think has the better divisional game this coming up week?" So which conference games do you think are better, AFC or NFC?
God, I don't know.
It's pretty close.
I mean, if you tell me that the Titans Bengals is going to be a great game, then I'd pick the AFC. But honestly, I can see a scenario where the Titans win by, you know, 10 points or something. I don't mean to jinx anything here. Okay. But I feel, and I also, even though I like the Niners, I still do think the Packers could win somewhat comfortably in that game. The two games that I don't have any kind of feel for who's going to win them would be the Bills Chiefs and the Bucks Rams. Those are the two games that to me excite me the most because I just don't know what to expect. Jared, by the way, says Bills are blowing out the Chiefs.
Bills are blowing out the Chiefs, huh?
Okay. I think he said 42-21 yesterday.
Okay. All right.
Well. And this is the same Jared who, by the way, said the Bills were absolutely toast and they were done and would not make the playoffs. But then again, you did that too. So.
Well, I gave funerals to both of them, so I probably shouldn't be allowed to pick the game coming up on Sunday. We'll see what happens on Thursday. By the way, Chris, closing on the house went very well. Appreciate you checking in. When we come back, we'll be joined by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as they take on the Jets coming up later this evening. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. The Nashville Predators in action tonight, taking on the Winnipeg Jets. They'll try to end a four-game losing skid that they're on right now. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And with that in mind, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds radio analyst Hal Gill, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring the newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. Skillsy, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Just gearing up for this big match, a bounce-back match, hopefully for the Preds tonight against Winnipeg.
Absolutely. Big divisional matchup coming up tonight. What are you seeing from the Preds right now? Obviously, you know, how in an 82-game season, you go through stretches like this. What kind of stands out to you about right now about the way the Predators are playing?
Yeah, you know what? It's tough because, you know, every time I see a stretch like this where you go, what are they doing different? Why aren't they getting these wins? And I think back, like, it's the NHL's pretty tough. I remember going through an 82-game season. It's not easy. You're expected to play to a certain standard, and it's hard to do that night in and night out. I think the Preds had a long road trip with it felt long. You know, you're going to playing against Vegas and battling. You come home against Colorado, and you had a big win there and it was going well, and you had a drop-off game against Buffalo, and then it's kind of slid, and the Preds, I feel like, played well against Boston, played well against St. Louis, made some mistakes, and now you're like, okay, what is this team, and why are they letting these games slip? And I just remember this time of year is tough. You know, you're playing a lot of hockey. These guys have been in and out of the lineup with COVID and with injuries. They're missing Ekholm and Fabro, which I think you can't just expect them to have the same success when you're missing one of the best defensemen in the game in Ekholm. So there's a lot that goes into it. Ultimately, they need to clean up the game. They need to limit the odd man rushes against. I thought they were better at the other night, but you know, they need to clean that up. And then they just got to get back to that hard grind game. They have success when they attack the net, and they need to do that a little bit more. But I understand where they're coming from, maybe where it's just a grind right now. But you know, with all those grinds, you kind of increase your focus, intensify it, and go back at it, and you got another chance to prove it tonight in the divisional game.
Is there anything, Hal, you know, beyond the specific things that you need to work on as a team? You know, you can break this down as a coach and say, okay, right here, we had a mistake in the defensive zone, or, you know, this shift or that shift. But beyond just the big picture confidence thing that becomes a concern. I mean, like when a team's rolling like the Preds were, you just had the feeling like they were going to find a way. And then, I mean, I know it's only been like a week of this, right? I mean, it's four losses in a row within a week. But then, you know, do you have the concern or the confidence just goes down a little bit? And now maybe in a tight situation, the third period, you know, like you've lost something. I mean, I guess, do you worry about that, or is that something you just can't worry about because you got to stick to the details?
Well, I think it comes down to human nature, and no one likes to think of hockey players as human, but there's certainly a human element where, and to be more specific, I'd say Ottman rushes against giving those up, and sometimes it's just, you know, you're a defenseman, and you see that I can pinch down and take this guy because I have a forward backing me up. And the forward is looking over going, is that defenseman going to go, or is he going to back off and maybe I should go? But then, oh, okay, now he's going. Okay, now I'll get back. Well, just that little hesitation, and it's hard to call it confidence because it's just a little bit of a hesitation. Now that forward doesn't get back as quickly as the defenseman would have liked, and now he's looking going, oh, now I'm stuck in the middle. I better get back. And now they're kind of playing off each other. Now what's happened is the defenseman hasn't stepped up quick enough. The forward isn't back quick enough, and the forward who's going to make a play now does make a play to a guy who's beating our forward. And so there's that little hesitation sometimes that creeps in, and I think that's the ultimate confidence. When you're playing as a team and you're playing confident, it just happens. And right now it's not happening for the Preds, and they're getting caught on that. And so you give up an odd man rush, and yeah, it's not a big deal, but then you go back and you look at that play again, and maybe the same thing happens, and then it gets worse. And that's when you start to creep in. So, you know, I feel like the Preds have to right the ship and say, let's just go play our hard game, confidence back, so that D is pinching, that forward is pulling out, and now we're making plays and we're attacking, and it's just a little stutter step here, a little stutter step there that adds up to losses ultimately. So I think the Preds are in that gray area right now, and it can turn around in one game, or it can fall apart and keep falling apart more, but the Preds have to be aware of it and make the adjustments and go forward.
Hal Gill on with us here on Robbie and Rextra, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, featuring their newest next-gen location at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. How can you believe we live in a world where Roman Josi has 40 points in 39 games and is not an all-star?
Isn't it? It's crazy. You know what? I'm looking at it as, you know, it's so hard because you say, okay, you know, obviously he should be there. I don't think anyone in the world looks at it and says, he's not an all-star. You know, he is. He's absolutely. He's, in my opinion, the best in the game. You know, you can talk about Fox in New York. You can talk about Makar in Colorado, Hedman in Tampa. Like, all these guys are great players. Roman Josi, I think, is on the top. So, ultimately, I have to believe that the world is giving him the respect he deserves. He's already won a Norris, so they know about him. He's not. It's just a weird glitch in the system that he's not an all-star. But I'm looking at is he gets some rest, and
yeah,
you know, I know, playing with a bunch of guys that go to the all-star game, and they're like, "Oh, it was so much fun! It was amazing! What an honor!" but it's exhausting. You know, there's the media, there's parties, there's the games. You're playing 3-on-3, and there's a lot of skating. So I'm kind of excited that Roman gets a break. Go hang out with your family. Go get away for a couple days. Whatever he's doing, I think it's going to be better in the long run for the Preds. So I'll take it as a positive.
What do you think about the Jets, Hal? I mean, they still got a lot of dangerous guys. I feel like Kyle Connor is really, what was he got 39 points in 35 games, 21 goals. How dangerous is his team? How much are the details going to be key tonight for the Preds?
It's so funny with Paul Maurice leaving, and if you haven't followed that, it's kind of a crazy story. He kind of resigned. Just head coach resigns. Just says, they're not hearing me anymore. And, you know, like I played for Maurice in Toronto. He's a straight shooter. He's honest. And you can't get much more honest than that. Like, hey, maybe it's not the guys. Maybe it's me. Maybe they're just not listening to me. And maybe it's not because I'm not doing my job. It's just because they've had my voice and now they're done with it. So he steps aside, Laurie jumps in, and now you have, this changeover, and I don't know how they're responding, but you have some weapons there. This is a team that could be built to do some things. I think defensively on the back end, they can be exposed, but when you look at what they can do off the rush, the speed off the rush is impressive. And you talk about Kyle Connor, he's a guy you're going to notice right away. You see him on the ice, he's got a ton of speed. You said he's got 21 goals. Every time he touches a puck, you're going to go, whoa, this guy can scoot. And so the Preds have to be aware of that. We just talked about giving up odd man rushes. You don't want to give Kyle Connor a break and let him go in because he'll take advantage of it. He gets even a half a step, it's already turned into three steps and he's gone. So the Preds have to be aware playing against this team.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. Joins us every Thursday morning at 9:30. Hal, tell us about our friends at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, Dunk's being everywhere now. Here, the newest one you talked about is 500 Cool Springs Boulevard. That is the newest location. That's actually January 21st, coming up pretty quick. We got a grand opening celebration. So there'll be some giveaways there, some stuff going on. So stay tuned for that. Try the omelet bites with bacon and cheddar. I just had them yesterday as a snack in the afternoon, and they are fantastic. You won't be disappointed. I think they have like 17 grams of protein, so I was getting all jacked up. I just had my workout and had some of those. As always, I get my Dunkin' Midnight right around the corner on Harding Pike, so I'm there more often than not. Yeah, go check out your Dunks in your neighborhood, and it's top notch. Go get your Dunks.
That's right, Hal. Appreciate you, brother.
Got it, man. Thanks.
Absolutely. So Hal Gill, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday morning at 9:30. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Hal had to say. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line as well. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm enjoying this back and forth between yourself and Willie Donick and Michelle on Twitter, Joe Rex Road, about who would win in a dunk contest between you and Willie. I'd be interested to see that one.
Like I said, Nerf hoop, which is the only way I could participate in a dunk contest today, these days. Well, or, you know, like when the kids were younger, you know, they go to hoops practice and they got like the 8-foot rims. And I'm like, man, I just want to go out there and cram on someone's head.
It's a good trampoline, man.
Joe, it's funny you mentioned the Nerf hoop because a couple segments ago, before this discussion got brought up, I told Robbie, I just Amazoned myself one of those little basketball hoops that go on the back of your door.
Yep.
Productivity at home is going to be very limited now.
Those are great. Those are great.
All productivity about to be out the window. That's fine. You can make an argument that was already the case here on our show with the three of us. We just mess around anyway.
And we have an excuse.
That's right. Ron on the text line says, What's Tannehill's weakness going into this game? I would say decision-making, knowing when to force a ball into traffic and when to just throw it away. This is coming from Ron on the text line.
Well, he has definitely thrown some picks this year that you can't throw, so you don't want to see that. And I think sometimes also it's there are some sacks he has taken this year where the quick just get rid of the ball gets you back to, you know, second and 10 or third and 10 rather than 7-8 yards, you know, then you're just way behind the sticks. Now, that's very easy to say from the press box or you know, from watching on TV. But I think sometimes he takes some sacks you don't want to take. He's the second most sack. By the way, we mentioned earlier the Bengals may be third in sacks allowed, but in terms of quarterback being sacked, Burrow is number one. And I think Tannehill's number two. I think it's Burrow's number one, 51 times that he's gone down. They've had – their backup has played a decent amount this year for various reasons.
Let's go to our
– the finale when he didn't – when Burrow didn't play at all.
That is true. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our friend Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, man, I've waited all week to be able to give you a game prediction, and I've looked at this thing over and over again. The Titans fan in me wants to say they're going to win by 35, but I don't really see that happening. I think it's going to be a Randy Bullock thing at the end. We'll see. I hope it's not. God, I hope it's not. But I'm thinking 33-31 Tennessee, and I think it's going to be a lot of – 47 is kind of a crazy number if you're trying to bet it, so I'm going – way over that, and that 3.5. My uncle used to say 3.5 make you laugh. I very rarely see somebody get out of 3.5 alive. So I'm gonna stick with the Bengals covering, but I think the Titans win the game.
Come on, Randy, I like it. Thanks, Adam. We appreciate you calling in. Look, if it sets up for a Randy Bullock game winning field goal, I got confidence in him. I know Gover's 7 out of 10. Put me at 9. I'm a 9 out of 10 in Randy Bullock.
Okay. I would not go 9.
I'm 9.
Okay. I mean, you know, he's just here and there. He's got a stinker. But, yeah, 26 for 31. Like, I don't think it should be low confidence in Randy Bullock.
Yeah.
You could be in a much worse position than having Randy Bullock right now. But, yeah, if you're the Titans, you would not want it to be – I don't think you want to be down 31-30 lining up for the winner. You prefer to avoid that.
That the 3.5-point spread, that can get a little tricky, to Adam's point. That's something to keep an eye on this weekend if you're taking some wagering stances on the Titans and the Bengals. We'll make our picks on the Titans and the Bengals coming up tomorrow, but the 3.5 does make it pretty tricky, Joe Rexrode.
Has that moved at all this week, by the way?
I think it was at 3, and then it moved up to 3.5.
Yeah, I think it's fluctuated.
So money going on the Titans, okay.
Yeah.
Or whatever that's worth. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you see, like, the line move a significant amount kind of late, and you're like, uh-oh. What don't we know that Vegas knows?
Well,
you know, that some people know, but that's not the case here.
Maybe Vegas just waiting on, you know, Derrick Henry to say that he's playing on Saturday. We you think that could be it?
It's gonna be a thing, right? It's gonna be a thing now. Like, you know, not sure if Derrick Henry's gonna play or not.
Yeah, you just have to find out, I guess, when you show up on Saturday. By the way, the Packers line has gone from -5.5 to 6 for the Packers. That makes me even more nervous.
Okay, so they've gone up to 6.
Yep.
Well, where you would be nervous though is if it goes down to 4. You're like, wait a minute, what's going on? Who's hurt for the Packers that I don't know about?
Nah, I'm still nervous. I'll be nervous no matter what. The Chiefs now 1.5-point favorites against the Bills. So if you factor in the 3 points at home, neutral field, Bills would be the favorite.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I think they had the most impressive performance of the first weekend for sure. No doubt that they were just incredibly good in that game.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We've got one more day to look ahead to this game coming up for the Titans and Bengals, and then a little bit over 48 hours from now, it's game time at Nissan Stadium. Going to be a fun one coming up on Saturday. That does it for us here today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Hope everybody has a good rest of their day. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.